Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced disease syndromes, please go to www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on your history alone. I do not have to see people in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. And my website is www.drcarly.com, drcarley.com. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714. It is fine if you use only your first name, and if you want to listen to any of the shows again, they are archived. Every week I will answer the question, what is ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. And I'm very excited to have as my special guest tonight a man by the name of Chris Barr from Arkansas. Chris Barr has taught me more about nutrition than I ever learned in medical school, and he is an expert in this area as far as I'm concerned. And I'll have him tell you a little bit about his background and how he got involved in this information. He's also an investigative reporter, and if you listen to one of the archived shows on my website, he is the guest that discussed the Quack Watch people with me. And Chris has researched these minions and gave some very important information about them, which you can hear on that archived show on my site. Chris is also involved with other radio shows, and he's written a book on chromium. So, Chris, if you would please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how did you get involved in what you call nutrition, N-E-W-T-R-I-T-I-O-N.
Well, the long and short of it is I got involved with it because of my first child, my wife's first pregnancy. I was raised as a standard fundamentalist, evangelical Christian family, rah-rah America, apple pie. Nothing about nutrition and health food stores was just goofy people, and that's actually the way that all of my family still is today. But as my wife was pregnant, of course, as every other man, or actually every other good man, wants the best for his wife and the best for his child. So I had heard of LaBoyer and of Bradley and Lamaze, and I was in Southern California where I was raised, spent my first 40 years there, and open up the phone book, and the very first listing I thought was very odd. Listed the Association for Childbirth at Home International. And I thought, well, that has to be against the law. But then I noticed the address was right down the street from me. And that got me started with looking into home birth, finding out that modern medicine was not all that it's cracked up to be. My midwife was very medically oriented. But after the baby was born, she told me to go down to the health food store and get some vitamin E for my wife's nipples to nurse the baby, said it would be good for my wife and for the baby and would help with the bilirubin and to help prevent jaundice. And I was stunned because my medically oriented midwife was telling me to go to a health food store. And I went in there and saw there was all kinds of things, thought, well, there must be something to this. Started to look into it, and then was introduced to vaccination. Actually, I'd been introduced to that with the birth of my child. I'd been warned about some things and went in to find out the doctors lied blatantly, things that I called them on because I'd learned from my midwife. So I learned at a very young age that doctors don't tell the truth. And got a book called Vaccination, the Silent Killer, written by Ida Onaroff, who was an award-winning journalist, actually won awards from Associated Propaganda, more commonly known as Associated Press. Yeah, she was an award-winning journalist. She wasn't a health nut at all. She was a consumer activist, and she happened to discover that vaccine was quackery just by the course of consumer activism.
If I could, Chris, I just want to say to the listeners that that is what I consider the most important book in my vaccination library, so I want to just mention the name of that book again, Vaccination's the Silent Killer by Ida Onaroff, H-O-N-O-R-O-F-F, and Eleanor McBean. And I'm pretty sure it's out of print, but I got my copy through eBay, so I highly recommend that all of you get that book. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, it is out of print, and very sad to say, because you're most definitely right, Dr. Carley. That is the best vaccination book that there is. None of the ones currently on the market really hold a candle to it. And in the course of reading that book, there was one line, literally, that's all there was, mentioning a man by the name of Antoine Bechamp. And it mentioned a book, Bechamp vs. Pasteur. And the spirit within me rose up, and I had to get that book. Now, keep in mind, I was a straight-A student, graduated from school a year and a half early, but the one subject I never had any interest in was science. And here I am being drawn to this Antoine Bechamp for I don't know what reason. Make a long story short, the work of Bechamp has become the foundation of all of my life's work, and really is the reason that I'm as far ahead in nutrition as I am, because of the foundations of Antoine Bechamp, who really gave the earliest and most accurate definition of life processes when he described that life is the process of digestion, assimilation, disassimilation, and excretion. And that any interruption of any one or more parts of that results in disease and eventually death. Louis Pasteur, whom everyone is aware of, even people who don't care about science know the name Louis Pasteur. Pasteur actually knew the genius of Bechamp from early in his career, and Bechamp was out on the countryside just sending truth into Paris, into Paris, France, and didn't realize that Pasteur was taking his information and copying it. Actually, he was trying to make it his own. But Louis Pasteur wasn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier. Even on his degree, from his college degree, it's written on there, moderate in chemistry. He was actually a physicist who specialized in crystals. He was pretty sharp in physics. But chemistry, not so good, and biology, he had no training at all. But he knew genius, so he would rewrite Bechamp's work and immediately submit the conclusions that he could understand from Bechamp, which wasn't all that good because he wasn't that bright. And that's why we have this germ theory of disease, because Beauchamp showed that it isn't the germ, but it's the milieu, to use the French, or the terrain. It's the condition of the host that determines whether disease can set in or not. He actually did genetic research before Mendel. There are many of the discoveries accredited to other so-called giants of science that came from Beauchamp first. And he was buried by the academia of his day, by the royalty of his day, and by the popular press, because he didn't go along with the program that showed these evil spirits, now given a name, called germs. See, really, they just took old shamanism and updated it to look scientific by taking the evil spirits and now calling them germs, and showing that you had to have heroes instead of the gods of Olympus. We now had the M-deities lifted up, and their drug medicines, which could work magic powers, of course, to the harm of the patient, where we get the old expression, the operation was a success, but the patient died.
Yeah.
And although Beauchamp's genius was recognized still, even though they buried him as far as his memory, because when he died, by the way, he was born before Pasteur and far outlived Pasteur. This was a true giant, though little known, sadly. And when he died, the medical journals Lancet, even then a giant journal as it is now, and the journal Nature, also a well-regarded journal now, and it was then, this is almost 100 years ago, both of them gave obituaries. And to summarize what they said, they basically noted, when the fullness of Beauchamp's work finally comes to light, that humanity will be greatly benefited. Well, his works are still largely in the dark, even though when he died, it took 8 pages of the French scientific journal, the National Journal of France, was called, and still is called, Moniteur Scientifique. And it took 8 pages just to list the titles of his published scientific treatise and books. Again, to make a very long story very short, if all of the scientists of the day, or just those at the National Institutes of Health today, were to look over Beauchamp to verify whether he really was right, and he was, that way we could verify his work in a fairly short period of time, less than 10 years, we could then shut down 90% of the hospitals and perhaps more based on the truths, the real truth of Beauchamp and true life science. This was a man who was graduated with degrees in and was a university professor of medicine, chemistry, biology, physics, and pharmacy. There is nobody before or since with that kind of credential. So I don't play the credential game, because I see the man that was the most credentialed in the history of the world completely blocked out of the history books.
Chris, if
that's
I could
just a little bit of my history.
Yes, I just need to make a couple of comments, because, of course, it's self-evident that one of the main reasons that the very journal that's talking about the fact that, you know, his work could help humanity, pretty much, just summarizing what you said, the reason that they're not talking about this man's work is because his work would shut down, you know, as you said, 8 out of 10 hospitals, and the medical mafia has no interest in curing anything. It's their interest to manage disease, and that's because they're totally controlled by the pharmaceutical cartels at this point. But if you could, first of all, I would like you to give the name of the best book that you think that the listeners could read and understand the work of Beauchamp, because I want to make it very clear and underline what you said and put it in bold font, that Beauchamp's work talks about the terrain of the body, the cellular milieu, as Chris said. In other words, the body cells themselves must be clean. And the way I liken it to is if you have a fish in a fishbowl and the fish is getting sick, you don't add prescription drugs to the fishbowl, you clean the water. And that's what Bachomp is all about, is making your body clean and detoxifying yourself. Now, of course, the reason that the medical mafia promoted Pasteur is because his one germ, one disease theory totally fit in with what they wanted, which was develop all their antibiotics, antifungals, antivirals, and all the other things that they're killing people with, which only creates superbugs and then give you another kind of a problem. They have no interest in getting rid of these things. And actually, Bachomp's work showed that the bacteria and viruses and the things such as that that are in our body, we're born with these things. They actually become mutated into more pathological forms as you become more and more toxic, because their job is to decompose you. And when you are dying from all this toxicity, that's exactly what they do. So if you clean out your body and detoxify yourself, those organisms can actually, you know, become more beneficial organisms. And that is exactly what happens when you go through a detoxification process. And that's the reason that the medical mafia is covering up his work. So if you could give the name of the book that you most recommend to the listeners. And also, I just remembered something. Chris and I have done many shows together. I remembered something that happened when you spoke to one of my adversaries. I believe you spoke to William Atkinson at the CDC, the head of the immunization program, and what he told you about Bachomp's work.
Well, I'm trying to remember what he said about it. Oh, I think he just talked about how old that it was, so it couldn't have any value, which I've often heard from people who haven't read and who have no knowledge of his work. They just want to say, well, that's old. Well, truth doesn't age.
Exactly.
Truth is truth, period.
Right.
That's what basically summed up what he had to say. As far as the books, the best book on the subject is not so easy to get a hold of, and that's Bachomp vs. Pasteur. But one that's a little easier to get is the last writing of Bachomp when he was nearing 90 years of age. It was called The Blood, The Third Anatomical Element of the Blood. The short title was just The Blood, which really summarizes the highlights of his work within that book. And that is somewhat easier to get. Bachomp vs. Pasteur gives much more detail of the story and what happened. So those are two books that if people wanted a real good introduction, they could get a hold of.
Excellent. And I just want to say that, of course, anybody involved with any immunization program is going to make some comment to totally blow off what Bachomp did and the important work that he contributed to humanity, because if you realize what he was saying, then that goes totally against the idea of inoculating yourself with further organisms, the most insane practice that medicine has ever, you know, developed. As far as I'm concerned, bloodletting made more sense than inoculating people with disease. And as you know, that's my main thorn that's in my side from my profession. But, of course, how could anyone do that if they realize that the body being toxic is the main problem that leads to disease symptoms? Why would you inject yourself with more bugs?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. This week, Bachomp was in the news, although you wouldn't know that unless you knew Bachomp. There was a conference in Washington, D.C. this weekend on Alzheimer's disease, and with all the heads of the various Alzheimer's associations there, and with all kinds of different proclamations. But one headline caught my eye: heart disease, a risk factor for Alzheimer's. Now, this should be self-evident for many reasons, and I won't get into on your broadcast here, but what brought Bachomp to mind was this study was presented by the lead investigator, who was from the University Regional Hospital Center in Lille, France. And the conclusion they drew is true, although the reasons they give have nothing to do with truth. So I was excited by the headline, which gets into a lot of complex nutritional issues if you got into the truth of the matter. And then they noted that treating the heart might help protect the brain. And I thought, hear, hear, yes, that's right. But then they said these findings represent hope that interventions with well-known drugs can interfere with the disease's progression. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no disease known to man that is caused by a drug deficiency.
Exactly.
And Lille, the University of Lille and their entire science program was founded by Antoine Bechamp. It was a new university. He was drawn away there because of his devotion to his faith, and it ended up turning on him because, for those of you who don't know, the Inquisition never ended. There's something called
Amen.
The Index. And the Index was the list of forbidden books that, you know, if you read or if you even had a copy of, you could be imprisoned or even killed. Well, that actually was continually updated until the 1960s, and it still exists. They just haven't added to it. Well, the works of Bechamp were put on the Index by the Roman Catholic Church, even though he had gone to their university in Lille, France. But when his work came against that of Pasteur, which was favored by all of the royalty and academia and the popular press, they placed his works where they still are listed on the Index, which is the list from the started during the Inquisition and maintained by the Roman Catholic Church up until the 1960s, or added to it, actually. It's still maintained. So I saw this news story. I thought, boy, they've completely turned, which, of course, I knew from placing his works on the Index. But here was Lille, France, so I note little details like that, because this showed how they had turned completely from his truth of how you take care of your body being the key and turned to the heroic measures of the MDTs and their noxious potions.
Yes.
So that's just a little bit of this week in the news related to Bechamp.
Well, that's very discouraging that even his own alma mater, if you want to call it that, actually, it's even more than that if he actually started this institution, has been so totally corrupted. But it's to be expected because that's what's happening today. Everything that's white is black and vice versa, lies are truth and truth are lies. And I'm sure that they've been totally infiltrated by the pharmaceutical cartels as well. So, of course, they mention his name because he started the institution, but that's the only thing that they're telling people about. It reminds me of the Hahnemann Medical College in Pennsylvania. They're not even allowed to discuss homeopathy at that medical college, and, you know, that was named after Samuel Hahnemann, who started homeopathy many years ago. So this is what's happening now. They're trying to cover up all these truths, as you said. But the truth is getting out there, largely because of people such as yourself. I first learned about Bechamp from you, and that was a very important part of my education because none of these words are ever taught to doctors. As I mentioned in my introduction, I have learned more from Chris about nutrition than I ever learned in medical school. I had 10 hours of nutrition in medical school. I still have the notes, 4 hours worth of discussing milk, 4 hours worth of discussing the basic, four basic food groups, which of course are fraud as well, and 2 hours were spent basically telling us that vitamins give you expensive urine, as opposed to 2 years of pharmacology. And this is what's happening all over the world, even in India, where many people were very much aware of homeopathy. I first learned of homeopathy from somebody from India. But even in India, the Western medicine is creeping in and taking over. So it's very important that people become aware of the corruption that's going on and who's behind it and why it's being done, because the powers that be, of course, have absolutely no interest in anyone healing, because if they do, they won't be able to sell their sorcery. As a matter of fact, the root word pharmacopoeia comes from the Greek, I believe. Is that right, Chris? And it
That's
actually
correct.
Means sorcery.
That's right.
Yes.
And there is no positive application of that Greek word. from the Greek, from the ancient Greek, there's no good side to pharmakeios, which is the word it actually comes from. The word pharmakeios only refers to sorcery, sorcerers, and their sorceries. So they are really telling you by speaking in tongues without interpretation, if you will, just what they are.
Exactly. Okay?
That they're sorcerers, which interesting in the Christian scriptures, that word is used and translated as either sorcerer or witchcraft, and it is always a word that is classed with murderers and liars and fornicators and adulterers and whoremongers. Isn't that interesting?
Appropriately. So, and isn't it also interesting that the Roman Catholic Church would have an interest in making the works of Bichamp forbidden? That's kind of telling in itself that they had been corrupted so many years ago.
Yes, and actually that was just a variation of that was in the news, just in today's news, actually. I can call that story up here real quickly on the bird flu, the mythical bird flu, I might add. This was late yesterday in the news. Government urging pandemic flu preparations, the Health and Human Services Department officials, including the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mike Leavitt, were having meetings with business groups, insurers, school administrators, civic clubs, the American Red Cross, medical groups, and Roman Catholic, Baptist, Mormon, Lutheran, Jewish, Buddhist, and Muslim representatives. They're still doing the same thing. This is just in the news yesterday, late yesterday's news. And
well,
with,
Chris,
getting people...
I just have to say, you have the most amazing ability to research different things. You know, it just blows me away every time you come up with these things. As a matter of fact, there was a very important article that you had made me aware of in the past about the whole vaccination situation. And I forget exactly what that was, but it was hidden as an entertainment article. Do you remember what that was?
Oh, yes, it was, again, religion involved. I think it was a $500 million, if I remember the figures correctly, from religious from the religious headquarters of the Roman Catholics, Jewish headquarters of for England, Hindus, I think it was Muslim. There was five major religious structures that were all contributing to this $500 million to promote vaccination. This coming
oh, yes,
from
the vaccine
churches.
Bond. I remember, yes, a
yep.
vaccine bond. And you see, this is what you have to realize, folks, is that they're getting the various religious organizations involved now because that's the ultimate, you know, controller. If you won't listen to the white coats, then... You know, you have to listen to your priest or pastor or rabbi or whatever the case may be. And when they tell you to go and get your inoculation for the bird flu, of course you'll have to do that or be, you know, forbidden to come to the church. And that's one of the most important topics that's mentioned in that book, Vaccination, the Silent Killer, which actually discusses how the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic was caused by inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. And that's exactly what's going to happen now with the bird flu vaccine that will cause the bird flu pandemic. And if you go to my website towards the bottom, there's a number of links to various MSNBC articles where they're discussing, you know, it's not a matter of if but when it's going to happen. And the most disgusting article that I saw was where some of the top scientists are actually now making bets. They've created some kind of a system where they're taking bets, they're paying money into this fund, and whoever is closest to whenever the bird flu pandemic is going to, you know, begin will win all this money. Well, they know it's going to begin because they're going to cause it. And that is a very important thing for people to realize because this is happening right under our noses. And, of course, they're also injecting fear into the people, and fear is also another assault to your immune system. And that's how they're going to keep people under control is by making them believe that this vaccine is going to protect them. And a bigger lie has never been told. And the fact that they're getting the various religious organizations involved, to me, that's the ultimate, I don't even know what to call it. It's such a fraud, because I don't care what religious scripture you're going to read, be it the Quran or the Bible or whatever sacred text is involved with any one of these religions. They all talk about, you know, keeping your body holy and not defiling your temple. What is more defiling than inoculating yourself with diseases?
Yes, that's actually a basic premise of, for instance, the Jewish and Christian scriptures, is cleanliness, not injecting or not putting blood into your body from outside your body, from another source, even to the point of what kinds of foods to eat and what kinds not to eat. These are all basic premises that have been lost by those who say they follow those texts. The vast majority of them really don't follow those texts at all when it comes to that aspect. You know,
exactly.
And in regard to bird flu, to put some perspective on this, like this article from yesterday noted 190 people have died since 2003. Well, to put that in, that's worldwide, by the way. To put that in perspective, 190 people out of more than 6 billion in the world, that would be comparable to less than one American dying every other year. And we're supposed to all empty our pockets out, not to the millions of dollars, not tens of millions, not hundreds of millions. This has already been legislated, already taken from tax dollars, billions of dollars, to give to giant pharmaceutical companies, as well as government agencies, for preparation for this mythical bird flu that they're working on anyway. Also of interest is this Human Health Secretary Mike Leavitt, who wants to take your money from your pocket to pay for this. But interesting that Mike Leavitt is a filthy rich multimillionaire from a very wealthy family that has a family trust that started a large foundation to give themselves tax benefits so that they don't even pay taxes off of the huge largesse that they bring into themselves. And further interesting is that this Leavitt Foundation gives money for housing students in southern Utah. Now, that sounds real noble, doesn't it? Helping student housing. But when you follow the trail completely, you find that the money that the Leavitt family puts into this foundation to give them huge tax benefits that is given to these only particular housing units for these students, those housing units are owned by the Leavitt family. Now, this was in the news briefly last year. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, only briefly, because we don't really have a free press in this country. It's largely controlled. But they noted that upon investigation, no laws were broken in any of these actions. They followed through legal workings that they could wrangle. So it's not against the law what they did, but is it right or wrong what they did? Especially when Secretary Leavitt wants the little people to pour money out of their pockets with tax dollars to pay for all these drugs and virus and vaccines and et cetera, et cetera. That's why I refer to these political officials as Robin Hoods, because they're robbing from the poor to give to the rich.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that that's a conflict of interest. I mean, how can you get a tax write-off for donating to yourself, which is basically what they're doing? But, you know, this is how the elite operate. They make all kinds of loopholes for themselves to do whatever they want to do. And it's very good that at least it comes out to some degree, although the problem is that so many people now are dumbed down and their brains aren't working. They're in a fog for various reasons, poor nutrition, you know, inoculations, GMO food. There's so many things that are being done to us that makes it impossible to use critical thinking or use your own common sense and your logic, that this just goes right over people's heads. But I'm so glad, Chris, that we have you out there checking into these things. And another thing that comes to mind when you're talking about this is this new collaboration that the FDA is having with Big Pharma. If you could talk about that a little bit, how the FDA is now actually becoming a drug company itself.
Yes, well, this is not probably. This is the biggest con in the history of Congress. And by the way, what's the opposite of pro? It's con. So what's the opposite of progress? It's Congress.
Yes, right.
For those interested in words.
Mm-hmm.
PDUFA, the Prescription Drug User Fee Act. This is one of the worst pieces of legislation ever passed back in 1992. And truthfully, it's probably the worst legislation ever passed in the history of this nation. This legislation was trumpeted as making the drug companies pay a part of the regulatory process. But what it actually did is set up an instant conflict of interest. But that's the least of problems in this bill. They pushed it by saying these drug companies are now going to pay $250 million a year towards the regulatory process. And, of course, people get all excited when they hear that big number. But $250 million to the pharmaceutical industry is the same as the change in your pocket. It's little or nothing when you're talking about tens of billions of dollars profits annually. But the real news that they didn't tell you was the back end of the bill, what they were really paying for, was allowed them to rush drugs, to fast-track drugs into the marketplace by bypassing safety requirements on the contention or on the honor system that they would put the drugs on the market and the companies would continue to do the safety testing while they were marketing them. Well, the result of that bill from 15 years ago is we have had more deaths from drugs being recalled and black boxed warnings long after the fact, such as, well, just on the short list, the SSRI drugs, antidepressants, Vioxx, just in the news last week, Avandia. You know,
yeah.
We have seen more bad drugs after the fact since the passing of this act in 92 than in all the decades prior to it, and there have been more than 1,000 safety studies required to be done that they were allowed to put the drugs on the market without completing those on the basis that they would complete them. Well, there's more than 1,000 of those that have never been done because once they got them in the marketplace, they just didn't bother. This law was originally made for only 5 years, and in 97 they re-upped it. In 2002 they re-upped it. It's now set to expire the end of this summer. Well, the Senate passed it. They tried to sneak it through in a day, but it actually took them 2 weeks to get it through, and they've made this bad bill possibly the worst ever. If they pass it in its current state, it will definitely be the worst ever because they've incorporated a drug group right within the FDA. And in the Senate bill, they've inserted some wording to allow them to regulate nutrition supplements the same as drugs. Now,
exactly.
Some senators have said, oh, well, this bill doesn't do that. It doesn't make nutrients like drugs. And that's a half a truth. And always remember that a half of a truth is a whole lie. Because they're right. This bill doesn't make nutrients regulated like drugs. But it has wording that permits the FDA to do so at their discretion. So the House bill currently doesn't have that language. That's House Bill 1561. And really the only hope we have, and it's hope is running out, to be honest, is this House Bill 1561 must not pass. See, they're trying to pull another con by saying they're going to pass the House bill without the wording that's in the Senate bill. But when they pass bills that are the same bill but with different wording. After they're passed by both the Senate and the House, they then go into a conference committee where they hash out what the final bill will say. And you can bet your bottom dollar that if the House bill does not contain this language about nutrients and this this Reagan-Udall foundation that they're incorporating within the FDA or trying to do, if the House bill doesn't have that, it will be inserted in the joint conference. And it will continue this abhorrent bill. Oh, by the way, they're once again using money. They're saying they're increasing the fee now from $250 million to $300-and-something million. And people are getting so excited about that. Oh, we're going to make them pay more money. But again, that's pocket change. And the result has been that they have increased their profits tens of billions of dollars annually. And if you do the math on that, that's like a 40-to-1 return on their investment. You know, that'd be like you putting $1,000 on the stock market and in a year turning it into $40,000. I mean, that'd be a great investment for you and me and the little people, but they're talking about on a scale of $300 million to $120 billion. And all through legislation, they don't tell you all these details. It's put in the news as just, we're going to make them pay their share of the regulatory process. And it's a huge con from Congress.
Well, not only that, but what they're basically doing is they're doing their drug trials on the people by prescribing these drugs that have never been tested in the first place. And then after you have, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of people that have side effects, you know, they've done the math themselves and they realize that they're better off paying settlements to the people that are hurt down the line and just keeping those drugs being sold. And that's how they do their research, basically. Now, the people are used as experimental guinea pigs. And, of course, the doctors, the white coats, as I so disrespectfully call them, are getting all kinds of little bonuses from these drug companies. That's the reason that doctors prescribe new drugs that have never been on the market for very long. You know, they'll take people off some drug that's been around for a long time and, you know, is not as toxic as the new stuff, and they'll put them on the new stuff. And what they're actually doing is signing up you up to be an experimental guinea pig. And that's how it works. And the FDA should be protecting people from this kind of a practice, but now they're actually behind it.
Yes, in fact, a great example of that was just in the last couple of weeks here with Avandia, this diabetic medication approved in 1999 without all the safety testing being done. And even before it was on the marketplace, they already knew. They already had indications in their earlier trials that it would increase heart problems, including heart deaths, but they pushed it aside. Actually, they strong-armed some people about it. That's really a long story. So it's been out for 8 years, and all of a sudden, the Cleveland Clinic does a study on 28,000 individuals using this, and said that there was a 43% increase in heart attacks amongst those taking Avandia versus those taking other diabetic drugs, and a 64% increase of death from heart problems in those taking Avandia versus those taking other diabetic medications. And it turns out this is not news. It's very old. They already knew this before they even approved it in the marketplace. And I've talked to scads of people in just the last few weeks that said they had been switched by their MDAT to Avandia, and they didn't have any problems. They didn't know why the doctor just said, here, I'm going to change your prescription. So there wasn't any they weren't having a problem that they needed to change their medication. The doctor just changed it because the salesman came in and said, hey, this is the newest, greatest, best, and by the way, here's our incentive program for your writing prescriptions for it.
Exactly. And since you brought up diabetes, I would like you to tell the listeners, Chris, about your book on chromium, because what I've realized is that insulin-dependent diabetes is an inoculation-induced problem. It's a vaccine-induced disease. it's caused by autoantibodies against the pancreas. But type 2 diabetes, insulin-resistant diabetes as it's caused, is actually a chromium deficiency. And Chris has a number of supplements that he recommends, and I'm taking all of the things that he carries. And chromium is one of them. And your book on chromium, Chris, is the best book I've ever seen talking about how important this nutrient is to our health. And if you could tell the listeners the title of the book, it's a very short book, actually. It's a quick read. And how can the listeners obtain that book from you?
Well, that is about chromium, sparkling health for your life and living. They can actually go to choosetobehealthy.com. They provide, there's a lot of places they can get the book at. Notadoc.org is another source that they can order the book through. Chuck at choosetobehealthy.com is probably the easiest place to get it from. Honestly, I'd love to sell them myself. I'd make a few extra bucks if I did that, but I'm just so overwhelmed with the work that I do. Salesmanship is not one of the things that I need to be doing. But the book is selling more and more all the time, just on word of mouth.
Yeah.
I've got one. There's a store down in Arizona that he said he quit selling the books. It's a health food store, said whenever someone comes in that has a need for chromium, or somebody who's diabetic or has blood sugar issues, he gets the book out, he talks to them briefly about the subject, and gives them a copy and says, read this and get back to me. And he said everyone that he gives away, again, he gives them away selectively, he doesn't just hand them out to people as they walk in the door, but everyone that he has given away, when the people come back, they buy one or more bottles of whole food chromium, because you have to use the right form, because all the other forms are at best worthless and at worst harmful. And the book goes into that as to exactly what form and amounts to take. And for a lot of other things besides diabetes, there's a lot of reasons. In fact, I just tell people chromium is the single most important nutrient discovered to date, though very few know very much about it. And most of what those few know is wrong. Okay, so my book is very important, and it's gotten rave reviews. In fact, I've never had a bad review. I've never even had a mediocre review. So the subject of chromium is of such tremendous importance for so much more than diabetes.
Yes.
But you know, terms like insulin resistance and insulin sensitivity, those are medical con phrases.
Yes.
Whenever you hear that or read that, you should immediately exchange that for gross chromium deficiency, because that is really what the problem is. Insulin isn't resistant. It's not fighting and angry with you and fighting against you, and it's not sensitive, crying in the corner over there. Ooh, boo. See, that's phony baloney. It's a gross chromium deficiency that causes the insulin not to be able to do its job, because it's not supposed to work alone. Chromium is a cofactor. So it's not resistant, fighting, or sensitive, crying in the corner. It's just not, doesn't have its essential co-partner or factor of the mineral chromium.
Yes. Let me just ask, do we have a caller?
Yes, this is Donna from Florida.
Okay.
And I just wanted to call because I've had some success with my 3-year-old child who was recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought if I could share it maybe with your listeners.
Oh, yes, please do. And he's on a vaccine detox as well as taking chromium, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is I started working with you, Dr. Carley, I guess it's been maybe about 6 weeks ago now. And about 4 weeks into the preparation for the detox, my first bottle of chromium arrived in the mail from Chris. And within the first 24 hours of my son being on the chromium, I saw his insulin drop from where he was averaging about 10 or 11 units a day down to 5 units. I could not keep his blood sugar up. It was just like, to me, like a miracle.
Yeah.
And I know it was probably a combination of everything that we had been doing, but I feel that, you know, it was, you know, definitely positively impacted, you know, because of introducing the chromium into the mix.
And that, let me just say, Donna, that that's the reason that I told you if I was you, I would also start him on the chromium, because even though the pancreatic islet cells have been damaged by autoantibodies, he's still chromium deficient. Everybody is, because the food today, the way it's produced, it lacks all these essential nutrients. So it's always the big picture. And, of course, nutrition is very important. You are what you eat. But I'm very mm-hmm. glad that you called. And I just want to mention one other thing, because it's been quite amazing, the journey that Donna has been on. One of the most amazing things to me that happened was that her son was prescribed, of course, this insulin, the short-acting and the long-acting insulin, and she was never told to put the insulin in the refrigerator. Now, when I was in, you know, a surgeon and working in the hospital, they always kept insulin in the refrigerator. I never even thought of asking her any questions about that. But as it turns out, people are not even told to keep insulin in the refrigerator anymore. And here it is, a protein. They're basically told, well, once you open the body, then you can keep it at room temperature. And, in fact, when you did that, wasn't it true that you were noticing that you had to increase his insulin, not to mention the fact that he was getting these strange bumps on him, that we realized he was getting some kind of infection from this insulin that was just sitting on the you know, countertop, growing
yes.
God only knows what.
Yes, and it was you know, it was, I was kind of trying to figure out what was going on. I thought it was from perhaps the detox, and, you know, kind of now looking back, I'm thinking it may just because, you know, the weather here in South Florida started to change, and it was, you know, it was definitely getting hotter, even though I always tried to keep it, you know, in an air-conditioned environment because I knew I couldn't let it get hot, but I definitely was never told specifically that it had to be in the fridge on.
Counter, and it's going to break down, and you're going to need to give more insulin, and then you're going to have to buy more insulin. It just seems like there's so many ways that they're defrauding the people and causing damage to their health while they're taking in more and more money all the time. So thank you so much for calling, Donna, and all I can say is that all of these things are important, and Chris has many other supplements that he has taught me about. There's so many, we don't even have time to go into them on the show, but it's very important, like you said, to get supplements that are made out of food, because so many of them have been adulterated now. And it's really amazing, Chris, we had talked about this on another show, about this chromium picolinate. This is something that people are learning about now. It seems like everybody's taking chromium picolinate. If you could give your words of wisdom on that scam.
Well, chromium picolinate is a slow poison.
Mm-hmm.
Just plainly, it causes genetic damage, and that was known when it was put on the marketplace. And basically, we were working with chromium, this was going back almost 30 years ago, and having a hard time getting people to try chromium because they had tried to use chromium because the research from the 50s and 60s showed tremendous good information about the need for this mineral, but the only form available was chromium chloride, which has an absorption rate of less than 0.5%, which is right next to nothing. And after intense investigations, government scientists at the National Institutes of Health found that we're going to have to grow this because chromium from food acts tremendously, but all other chromium sources have little or no benefit. And it took them a long time to figure out a process whereby they could grow chromium into a food supply. It took until the late 70s. And so when we started trying to tell people about this, the health food source especially said, yeah, we've heard about chromium, but it doesn't work. So we were having a hard time getting through to them that this is different. And, you know, all nutrients are best in a food form, but there's none where the difference is greater than with chromium. And part of that is because of a mystery that the Almighty has built into it. See, chromium is part of what's called the glucose tolerance factor, which is a molecule containing about two-thirds chromium and amino acids like glycine and glutamic acid, also nicotinic acid, vitamin B3. You know, they know some of what's in it, but they've never been able to, basically all the king's horses and all the king's men have never been able to take GTF apart and put it back together again. So they don't know all that's there. They don't know how it's constructed, so they can't make a phony baloney copy of it, which is what they do with almost every other so-called nutrient in the marketplace. So they learned they had to grow it. Well, we were just starting to make some headway in the early 80s. A little bit, it was hard work, when all of a sudden there was this tsunami, a tidal wave of information about chromium coming from government, from magazines, popular magazines, health magazines, and all kinds of information came out about chromium, but always mentioning this chromium picolinate, which I was well-schooled on chromium. That's a long story, but I never heard of this chromium picolinate. And I went to the leading researcher on the subject in the world and said, what's with this chromium picolinate? And he laughed and said, don't worry about that. Picolinic acid was identified in the early 70s as a highly cytotoxic agent. That's not going to go anywhere. Well, as it turned out, he was the research director for a large company specializing actually in selenium and in chromium. And they'd been putting all their eggs into the selenium basket. They'd really pushed selenium, and they hadn't pushed the chromium much. And their exclusivity contract with the grower of this was up for renewal, and the company agreed to renew the selenium contract, but not the chromium contract, because they said, you know, haven't been selling enough of it, and we want to sell more. Well, the company told them, well, if you don't give us exclusivity, then we won't sell it. And so the grower rolled the dice and lost. So what basically ended up happening is that company where the research director told me how highly toxic picolinic acid is suddenly changed from whole food chromium to becoming the exclusive licensee of chromium picolinate. They sold their soul to the devil for cash. And if you look up the patent on chromium picolinate, you will learn that the patent on chromium picolinate is held by the United States government. They created this monster, and it's a slow poison. Some people have some benefit initially, but it's inconsistent in the benefit it does provide, and it doesn't matter because it's elusive and not permanent. Plus, it's a slow poison that causes long-term damage. Well, the marketplace has been overwhelmed by chromium picolinate because Uncle Sam's involved. And so, in fact, one of the biggest selling nutrients of all vitamins and minerals and nutrients is chromium picolinate. It's everywhere. It's in all kinds of supplements because it has deep pockets of Uncle Sam there. So people have basically been getting molested by their Uncle Sam and not even knowing they're being molested. So I've just continued over these almost 30 years now trumpeting this message, and it's finally starting to break through, basically because anyone who listens to me and hears what I say and applies it finds out that it's true. So it's taken a while to get enough people to hear and do to start spreading the words to others, and we're finally starting to make some impact because it just works. And there's no nutrient where whole food makes a bigger difference than with chromium. It's like night and day, or quite literally, life and death.
Exactly. And I would just like to also say that Chris has his own weekly broadcast on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on highway2health.net. And I would strongly recommend that you listen to his show. It's a wealth of information on these issues. And he also discusses vaccines as well. I think I kind of got him interested in that in even a more forceful way, which I'm very glad to have him also helping to spread the word. We're running out of time, Chris. I definitely want to have you on again. I thank you so much for being on the show tonight and sharing your wealth of information with my listeners. And I would also like to recommend to all the listeners to stay tuned for An Hour with Anzara, which is going to be right after this show. Tonight is her first show. So thank you so much, Chris. God bless you, and keep up the good work.
It's always an honor and a privilege to be on with you, Dr. Carly.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Let's make peace with him.